What's up, everybody? Geektastic Sypha here on Free X Agents Media. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, don't forget it's at FXA Media. What's up, Jaws?
Not much, Doc. You?
Well, I can't figure out what it is, but I got sore joints. And I feel, I don't feel sick, but I feel worn down. And I'm hoping it's not just that I'm old. One of my buddies was like, it might be the weather. I was just like,
you're feeling in your bones, boy. Yeah, exactly. You're 40.
I hate that when I was young, people would say, feel it in my bones. And now I'm 40. I'm like, oh, shit. Is this what I'm going to feel all the time now?
Well, I think it gets sped up. Like, suppose you broke something, like you broke a leg, you broke an arm or something. Then you notice that a little bit more. Like, oh, it's going to rain. Why? Feel it in that part that got broken. Like, it's just more sensitive. But I guess when you get older, you do start noticing it more. So yeah, like the temperature change, the drop, the fact that it gets cold and you haven't really, you know, done anything to warm up your body or anything like that, then it's like, ooh.
And I know that most people tuning in are just like, do we have to start with old people talk? But I had to be honest.
We got to be a downer somehow.
I gotta tell y'all the truth. I love y'all for tuning in. I love y'all for participating every week. I ain't going to lie to you, though. I ain't going to lie. I'm going to tell y'all the truth.
I remember one day I was trying out, like, I have a standing desk here, but I don't use it as often. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. I'm going to stand for 5 minutes and sit back down. Stand for five minutes, sit back down. And by the time I went to bed, like right before I went to bed, I was like, I got to go to bed now. Why? My knees hurt. I'm done. I don't want to screw this. I had worn out my knees. I only had stand up like maybe three times the whole day.
Jesus.
Well, I was like, no, don't want.
I will let you guys know it's all about pushing through your heels and pushing yourself straight up. That was the one thing when I had a trainer. He was always just about how to stand from seated position. It's really all about tighten the core, push through the knees so that push through the heels so that the knees and the leg don't feel as much pressure and you'll get used to it. And honestly, I do it all the time. I practice, like, and it's a weird thing to have to retrain your body to do certain things. Like when I injured my knee the first time and I started going to physio, one of the things I had to do was learn how to walk on my heel strike when I walk. And my physiotherapist was just like, yeah, you have to heel strike when you walk. If not, it will never get better. Yeah, the heel striking helps your knee because it keeps the knee straight the way you walk when you heel strike. And if you don't do that, your knee is bending, so it's taking some of the pressure, and it's not going to heal. And I was like, oh, okay. And honestly, I had to, like, I was in the Air Cadets when I was younger, and I literally had to march. Like, I had to be like, left, 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 right, left. And it was like, heel strike, heel strike, heel strike, heel strike, heel strike. And it took months of doing that before I started to do it naturally. And even now, sometimes I don't think I do it, but my knees are hurting less.
That's good. That's good.
Maybe I'm doing all right. Maybe I shouldn't complain too much. Old man Brian. But shout outs to the coworker that I was playing D&D this week with one of my coworkers. We have an office D&D session going now. We had our session zero. Oh. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Session zero. My character is going to be a shadow monk tiefling. For anyone who knows what that is, what's up, gang gang? If you don't, tieflings are like infernal demon. They're humans whose ancestors made deals with a demon at some point. They are more prone to the darkness, and I want my character to be able to like dip into the darkness and disappear. And that's my ultimate goal. I want to be able to like shadow move. Okay. So, you know, I like did a whole bunch of research on like, what do I need to do to make this character essentially Nightcrawler? That's right. Originally it was Batman, but then it turned into, I started like planning stuff and I realized, oh, this is more Nightcrawler. This is tiefling. He's got a tail. He's got like,
you're already a monk.
I'm a monk.
You're a monk. So how's your charisma? Your charisma through the roof?
Dude, okay, I gotta tell you, this is gonna sound crazy. And if for anyone who knows,
I mean, Nightcrawler is good with the ladies.
Nightcrawler is good with the ladies. I didn't realize how lucky I was. So for those of you who have ever played D&D, when you start off, you can do your character sheet. And this is something I just learned, so I'm probably going to butcher it if I'm not doing it properly. But when you have your character sheet, you can either distribute the number evenly amongst your attributes. And I think I'm saying that wrong, but so you have strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma.
Right.
Those are the things that are on your sheet that affect all the other things that you have, like, you know, animal handling, arcane, you know, insight, perception, all that stuff. These are all things that when you're playing D&D, like, you're going to be asked to roll, and your bonus for those different things, strength, constitution, dexterity, will affect those rolls. So the way we did it was we got to roll, you had to roll your dice and drop one. So you roll four D6s and you dropped your lowest one. And then whatever score it was, you got to put that in your strength, dexterity, all those. When I did it, I got four 16s. I got a 13 and a 12.
What the hell?
And that sounds horrible. This is like you starting a D&D. No. Sorry, I just joined for those who don't know, but like,
yeah, that's good. No, that's a good roll.
That's a because good
the
roll?
Max, yeah, the max you can get is 6 times 4. Well, no, sorry, it's 6 times 3, 18. Because you drop your lowest. So even right. if I got 4 sixes, I'd have to drop one of the sixes and I get to keep the 18. So that's the highest I can get. I got 4 16s.
But wait, so wait, you roll four dice? Oh, okay, the score is on 18, not 24.
Yes.
Okay, so that's ridiculous. Sorry, I misunderstood. Sorry, that's my
problem. So the score is on, you're right, the score is on 18, not 24. And yes, I rolled four D6s, dropped the lowest one, got four 16s, got a 14 and a 13, a 12 and a 13. Then, because my character is a tiefling, I automatically get another bonus for something. So I ended up getting 14 on one of them and 12 on another. And everyone at the table was just like, well, that's some bull. Like, that's not
well,
even.
Yeah.
They're just like, your character is starting off mad OP. Like,
but that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Our first session is going to be in December. We're going to do one right before Christmas so we can try and, you know, feel out how our characters interact. Mm-hmm. And we go from there. I'm really looking forward to it, though. I've never played live in person. I've always played with, shout outs to Frigimon. I've been playing digitally with him and his crew. We're the Sunday Wanderers.
Oh, I thought you did that in person.
No, that was always digital. I've never actually rolled dice for.
Oh, it's cool.
Right. It's so cool. And that's the thing. When I did it for the first time, I got all those high rolls and people were just like, what the hell?
Yeah. So you did that. So that was like a meetup. You guys talked about it. Said what your characters were. Okay.
Yeah. Session zero, which was a lot of fun. And I got new dice for it. So.
Oh, which type? If you mind me asking.
I got just basic like blue and white ones. I don't know if people can see them. If you guys are listening.
Okay. You have the solid dark blue with white writing.
Yeah. And then I have like Joker ones.
That purple and
yeah, purple and green ones that are kind of hard to see because of the light
here. Yeah, again, his being solid because I have the purple and green one like you have.
Oh, cool.
Except for mine are transparent. Like, well, not transparent, but like, you know, like the you could see on the other side, but it's full of color. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
I have
those. I call them like you said. I call them the Joker ones. I have green like that, and I have aqua. Like an aqua blue, like the blue. I don't know if people see it, but kind of like a slightly more brighter blue than the one that's the face helmet in our thing.
How often do you play D&D?
Well, the thing is, basically, what happened is like I was getting really amped for it. Like I was getting mad amped because basically what happened was I finally found like at least a few people who were like interested, and I had one friend who's like, oh, I haven't been a dungeon master in a really long time, and like I like doing that as long as you guys plan them out, like, you know, like it works. So I played maybe a few games with them on two different stories. Like one story was like a one and done because
one
we
shot?
It's just because basically there wasn't enough people. It's like, well, fuck it, like we're just gonna do a side character, like choose new characters, if choose the same characters or side characters of your story, and we'll just like run and kill people or whatever. You know?
murder hobo style.
It basically, you know, and I got really into it. Like for me, my character, and I've always asked people, like, I hope that, like, I like the concept of my character. I'm like, you could like dummy down if you want, but this has like always been the premise of the character that I want to start in a solid game, because we ultimately stopped playing because of COVID and no one wanted to do the digital thing. And then I kept on meeting people who liked playing D&D, but I was like, I don't mind playing online and just moving my camera so you could guys see me roll, and you know, when it's time or whatever, like I don't mind that, or however you're, you know, if they want to do, I understand people don't want to do a digital dice because that's, it takes away from it to a certain degree.
I've only ever played with digital dice, and I don't mind it. So,
well, it's not that it's a mine. It's just that there's a different feel when you're like shaking and you're like, you let go and you're like,
I know I'm crap at rolling dice. I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I've made some characters that were dog the doo doo. That rolling, I got nothing.
But my character my go to character that I created, I basically created a, what's the dragon one? Dragonborn.
Yeah.
I basically had a dragonborn where his story was like someone stole his egg and he got raised in like a imprisonment. And the second he was born, like they would like feed him to the dogs and he'd have to fight the dogs to survive. Like that's how low level he was.
Okay.
And that he made friends with a gnome that he called, I have it written down, but I forget what his nickname was, but it was basically alluding that this gnome is Merlin.
Oh, okay.
And I was just like, they were just in this camp together, and you know, by the time he leaves, you know, he's gone crazy. But through his craziness, he's basically realized he is in a game. Like it's kind of a la Deadpool a little bit. And that, the only thing I did, it's for entertainment value purely. I just say to him, I'm like, yo. So like sometimes he's like he ends up, I have a whole story about how he escapes the camps and all that stuff, and it's cool or whatever. But like, I go to the point of him being like, you know, he'll like sometimes be like, all people are to me like, his god, his name is Deem, and he's like, DMs, like, give me a bone, like, what the fuck?
Oh,
like,
so you're metagaming like crazy.
No, but just like from just basically like, I just give it a Deadpool type attitude to the character.
Right. But that's like metagaming. Like metagaming is when your above the table stuff interacts with your table stuff. So in your case, your character is aware of above the table.
He's aware of above the table, but he's fully aware that he can't do anything, and he's at the mercy of people making the right decisions and stuff.
And everyone at your table is okay with that?
Because I I was just doing that. Like I told people, because I described the story like this when people would ask me about it. It'd be like, look, he'd go up, scream. He has stories where he screams up to this DM, and like all of a sudden, like, you know, hellfire and brimstone come down, and he's oh so dead. And then there's fire and brimstone where he survives and everyone else is dead. And there's also times where a little yellow cloud goes and pees on him.
Okay.
Like, you know, like even when I was playing with my DM, I liked was that he was just like, he was just more annoyed with how stupid I was being at one point. So I was like trying to climb a wall. Like basically my character got drunk. And he was trying to, instead of just like walking into the inn and like going upstairs and sitting down and sleeping, I was like, so he's trying to scale the wall and go through the window to his room. And he's like, makes me slip a bunch of times. And I was like, you know, and then he's like, an acorn falls, minus one.
Yeah, because you're acorn rolling.
Falls too, 20 points.
You're rolling for athleticism to see if you can climb, scale a wall.
Yeah.
If your character doesn't have that high athleticism, then you're going to fall. And you're just doing that over and over, which is probably like, why are you doing
that? I was doing it more for the comedic factor. Like I told people, I mean, you don't have to, but like example, at the same time, later on while we were playing, we were fighting some demons or whatever, but then I realized, I'm like, yo, how tall are these guys based off of what you just said? He's like, oh, they're like the size of your foot. And I'm like, well, my guy runs back and does a soccer kick to one of these motherfuckers, and he's like, roll for it. And he's like, I rolled a perfect 20.
Oh, nice.
So he's like, not only do you do that, but like you do like a bowling ball and like knock people, the other little ones away. And he gave me something. I forget what it's called, but it's essentially like an artistic point.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that. He's like, you have one of these. He's like, why? He's like, because you made me laugh. And that's. He's like, I'm getting what you're trying to sell me on with this character.
Right.
And you're not trying to influence the game. You're just trying to create an opportunity for storytelling, basically.
Because I was going to ask you, one of the things that I know, I've been listening to a lot of D&D podcasts and stuff, and when people play the way you're playing, some of the other characters don't love it when the like above the table knowledge character is aware of things they shouldn't be aware of. Mm-hmm. For example, does your character know the backstory of the characters without them ever telling him?
No.
Okay. No.
He's like I said, he's just self-aware. He's right. He's not at the table. He's aware that there's he just knows. Got he's you. Like, like when he's talking to someone, like one of the first times I interacted with people, they were like all drinking at the bar, and I just didn't feel like I felt like speeding up the game. So I was like, oh no, my character just pretends he's drunk. He's like, no, we're gonna see each other later, don't worry. And like walks off. Like because he's aware that as you interacted with me, no one else acted with me. You must be the other characters in the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
all right.
He's just aware, and he just is aware. By chance, he's aware that he only knows, he doesn't know the DM. Like, let's say your DM's name's Mike. He's not calling him Mike.
No,
I guess. He's just saying, yo, dude, who's up there? Help.
Right. But like you were saying, you interacted with someone, and you knew that that character was someone you were going to interact with later. So instead of playing it out, you said, no, don't worry, we'll see each other later. Because your character above the board knows that that's one of the playable characters.
But I'm using it more as like it's like as if
I'm not judging. I'm just saying
No. But I'm trying to say how I describe it. It's like as if you're playing Zelda, and the amiibo that you're playing with.
Yeah,
he knows he's Zelda. He doesn't know me, but when he sees when he sees someone like you're not talking to me, but oh, you're talking to me. It must mean you're important. Like you know what I mean? Like
okay, so that is the metagaming. He knows the difference between a playable character and an NPC.
I wouldn't go, he will interact with anything, but like, it's just, it's like, if we're in a jam, it'd be like, okay, like guys, like I don't want to do this forever. Like let's.
Does he know not to hit a chicken over and over and over again?
No, he would do. Annoying my character, he'd beat the shit out of a chicken.
Cause that could be quite disastrous in the
world. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want that to happen.
Yeah. But no, I did that, and I made my character dual wield, and the only thing my DM gave us was he didn't worry about weights. Because he's like, I don't know. No, it's because the first time we played, he's like, because we were all super new, he's like, I'm going to avoid weight, but the next time I'm not going to go over crazy for you guys.
Right.
But like, next time we play, like, we're going to factor in weight. No, it's because he's like, he knew not everyone was as excited as I was at that table.
Well, I was going to say, because weight is a major factor. Like,
if you have bags and this and that, like, it's important.
Like, if you have like weapons and your character has like a wild shield and all this stuff, and you're just like, well, your character can only carry this much weight, and then he lets you carry a shield, double wield weapons, a crossbow, and you're just there like Rambo, but in the D&D world.
No,
that's fantastic. But
I don't know, man. That sounds like Assassin's Creed.
Well, I think for ours, he's like, I'm gonna forgive weight, and he gave some of us like certain abilities. He's like, that's just your next level up ability. I'm just giving it to you now, just because like I want you guys to actually play, and like I don't know if you guys are gonna want to play if you don't get to invest into like understanding how deep you can go.
I would love Frigimon to hear you say that, because we had a session recently where we knew we were going to be level 5 at the end of the session, but people started trying to use their level 5 powers in the middle of the session. And he was just like, you do not have that power. Go ahead and try and see what happens. And we were like, cool story, bro.
Well, again, I spoke to the DM.
Did someone try? And he's like, 1 second, rolls behind his thing. And then everyone fumbles.
Pretty much
get the move out, but not really, and they just pretty hurt themselves. Much.
Isn't a D&D game like minimum 3 hours?
We've had sessions
minimum playing it.
We've had sessions where we were 90 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because we've done.
Okay, you must have done like a side story or like a
I think it depends on the crew you're with. If the crew's actually following the rules, everybody's trying to break the game purposely, to piss off the DM.
But the longest I've ever had was 5 hour sessions.
I played, I think the times we did play, it was like really long, but it was also like one of those, like, it was more or less a part, like us having a small gap, like we treat it like a party, like, you know, we were like, okay, we're drinking this and that.
We ordered food, and session zero was us sitting around, ordered food, went over everyone's character background. Like I was saying before you jumped on, my character's essentially Nightcrawler, or at least I'm trying to build up a Nightcrawler type. He's a tiefling who is working on shadow play, like shadow movement. And he has a bow staff for now, but he also has a short sword. And I'm going to see where he goes from there. But he has solid strength, and he's, his athleticism and acrobatics are really good. So ideally, ideally, I want to be able to like stand on like the top of like a lamp post and then just kind of just jump into a shadow and disappear. That's ideally what I'd like to be able to do one day with this character. We'll see
Nightcrawler or Damian Wayne.
Well, originally the build was Batman, and one of the dudes I work with knew that my idea was Batman. I asked Frigimon and the whole pod, the whole D&D crew that I play with, the Sunday Wanderers, how would I build out Batman as a D&D character? They gave me a bunch of great advice. They explained what kind of build I'd have to do. You know, you'd probably have to do a monk with Artificer. Like, they gave me all the background, all that stuff. And I was like, cool, get to work. There's a guy at the table. It's his first time playing ever. So we're like, you know, our DM is going over all the stuff. And the DM says, okay, so monks do this and this and this. And you can do this. And the guy who's never played before is just like, I want to be a monk. I want to have alert. I want to build Batman. And the other guy who knew that's what I had planned to do was kind of just like, oh, damn. And then we both started laughing. And I was just kind of like, that's okay. Go ahead, man. Because it's his first time. So I didn't want to take it from him. Like, if you show up at the table and it's your first time playing, I don't want to limit the experience you're about to have in any way.
Exactly.
So I just kind of pivoted to my new idea. And my new idea was kind of like, all right, let's try this.
Yeah. No, it's always fun, but I find it also always really hard to actually find. I've been shopping for a group to play with for like so long.
I didn't know, because I can ask Frigimon if there's room for another.
Frigimon?
Yeah, that's my DM's name.
Remember?
Respect.
He's been on the show a few times.
That's a respect.
But yeah, so I can ask. We can see. I mean, we'll find out, dude. I love playing D&D, so we'll see. Like,
I love it because I just find it.
I will tell you though, if you're the type of player who's gonna play the way you're describing when I'm there, my character will probably kick your ass.
Go for it. That's what my character's for.
Because we had a guy who plays the way you played. Like, we were in a battle, and one of the guys was just like, this isn't moving the way I want. And he decided to try and throw one of our characters who was injured at another character.
Oh, no.
And our DM was just like, if you do that, there's a high likelihood he will die. He won't survive it. And the guy was just like, dude, don't throw my character. And we're all telling him, don't throw the character. And he's just like, come on, it'll be funny. And we're just like, nah, dude, you're going to end up killing this guy. Like, we don't want to play with this character dead. And then he got mad when we told him we don't want one of our playable characters murdered by someone else. And he was just like, fine, whatever. And then he didn't come back. And I was just like, good. Because no joke, I was planning to stab that dude next time. Like, my character is a barbarian. My character is as big and as strong as him. And no joke, the next time we were going to play, my plan was, if that guy keeps acting like that, I was going to tell the DM, yo, next time we're in a battle, I want to shift this dude and kill him. I was going to. And then he quit.
Well, I'm going to roll for initiative.
Yeah.
For bitches. If you remember that Key and Peele skit, it's like, oh, my cousin from California is here. And he's just like, you know, he's just a dude from the hood. And he's like, yeah, you could be whatever you want. He's like, okay, I want to find bitches. Well, you got to roll for that. He rolls. I got a 20.
Yeah, like a 20. Yeah.
We're supposed to go back to the adventure. No, but we're at the pub having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had times. Like, there was one session where we just robbed the dude, just robbed a guy's convenience store, and the cops came and we got away with it because we blinded the dude so he couldn't describe us to the cops.
That's crazy. Terrible. Degenerates.
Hashtag murder hobos.
Terrible.
We were doing it, man. It was a good session though. It's not often you get away with murder. Well, we didn't murder anybody, but we like left the guy blind in his shop.
Thank God.
Hey, man, sometimes you got to survive on these mean streets in D&D. At one point, our DM was just like, hey, just a reminder, y'all have burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, nobody likes you.
Yeah.
You are bandits now.
Yeah. I was like, what do you mean? And then he gave us a list of everyone we had wronged since we started playing. And we're like, ooh, we might have to stop doing that. Like, we had really.
You are wanted in the kingdom and not in a good way.
Pretty much.
There is a bouncy on your head.
It was pretty funny. It was really good though. I was really excited because I was just like, I didn't realize how bad it was. So now that we're in the biggest town and people don't like us, we're having to navigate in a whole new way. Because just
how,
like,
do you know that people don't like you? Just giving you the mad stink eye all the time?
Well, people already not trusting in the town, right? Like in any game, when your character shows up and you're new and you're like a group of adventurers and people don't know you, but you start asking about stuff. Like, we're asking about a certain guy. We're asking about some, like, jewelry that someone lost. Like, we're asking a lot of questions around town. And everyone's kind of looking at us like, who y'all? Like, why are y'all walking around just acting like you know people? So we started getting into situations. We almost got shot when we went into the Merchant Guild's office because we disrespected them. You're just on these streets.
Jeez.
D&D, baby. It's a whole new life. Speaking of D&D, this one might as well be in D&D. Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The trailer just dropped. Well, this is the second trailer.
Another Percy Jackson?
Right. So,
yep, redoing it.
They did two movies. Jeez. Those movies sucked. As someone who's read the book series, I can tell you those movies sucked. No. They did not honor the characters or the story. They moved things up. Like, God bless. You know I love me some Rosario Dawson. But her character in the first movie is not there in the book. So they just full on took a story from the second book and moved it into the first one. It's like, but why? You have a full story. There's a full book. Stick to that script.
But Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan's character is great. He's there. But for some reason, they decided to throw in a bunch of other characters that didn't show up until the second book.
Every time I hear Percy Jackson, I think Knights of the Zodiac, and I don't know why.
What?
Yeah, right? Yeah, for no reason. I just completely left.
Other side.
I just think, hey, Percy, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, don't you're not why. Wrong. Yeah,
Percy
I
is mean,
I get you. I get where the headspace is at.
Yeah.
I understand. Percy Jackson
and I ran. Nope, I don't know why.
But Percy Jackson, what is that? What's it about? I know it's...
Percy Jackson... Yeah, Percy Jackson is just a story set in the mythology. Of Greek and Roman. Yeah, true. Sorry, you're right. Because the first series is only Greek. The second series is where you meet the Roman gods.
Okay, but, so there's like a time and place of it. It's like it's not like current day or anything.
No, it's current day. It's current day. The Greek gods exist. Percy is a child of the gods. Zeus, Hades, and Poseidon agreed to not have any more children at some point.
Put it in your pants.
Yeah.
Leave it in there.
But
stop
then,
it.
Yeah.
Stop fucking.
Because
oh, man, I'm Zeus. I'm going to turn to this goose. Hey, baby.
Every time they had kids, their kids would end up like altering the entire world they live in.
Yeah.
So they were like, yo, y'all, they made an agreement, a pact between all three of them. Y'all can't have no more kids. And then in the you get to modern day and you find out that Percy is the son of one of those three gods. And is essentially wanted for the fact that he's proof that the gods didn't keep the agreement. And then so he ends up like, there's like a whole bunch of stuff that happens. He has like a cool sidekick that's what are they called?
Fawn?
Yes, thank you.
But is he like hunted?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, all the demigods are hunted. But he is more specifically because he is the child of the big three.
One of the big three.
So it's like being born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole movie's a who's done it, like Jerry Springer.
Yeah. Like, so
you are not the father. Zeus backflips.
No, I mean you find out you find
start
out
dancing.
That's the title. Zeus, you're not the father, Zeus backflips. You find out early on who the father is, and then he gets sent on a quest, which is why I referenced it to D&D. Because he gets sent on a quest to find something that was stolen, and then that's the whole story.
You were not the father. What?
Yeah. So the first book series is about Percy specifically. The second book series is about the Roman side of things, where you meet the Roman gods and one of their kids, and there's like a whole crossover between Percy. Then there's also the Kane Chronicles, which is a book series about the Egyptian gods, and that one I also really liked.
Oh, okay.
And then later on, there's the Midgard series, which is the Norse mythology. And now there's also a story set in African-American lore, which is cool. They're not all written by the same guy, though, Skinny. He just... Okay. Yeah, no, it's not a white dude writing about African-American lore. I saw your face. I was like, no, I get it. It's the writer of the main, like, story realized, oh, it'd be good if I reached out to people to write other lores. And then he reaches out to someone to write
the African James story. Cameron. Oh, man.
But yeah, so that those books are good too. So yeah. So Percy
Jackson. I don't have faith in movie books since they can't seem to finish Narnia ever. Right. Don't...
They got close. They got close to that last run, but I mean, I think people just get like not fed up, but like
they get up to like strong
and the interest just doesn't stay there, you know?
It's a lot of books though. It's a lot of stories.
I mean, you got to get the Prince Caspian, and then you got to get what's the name of the little mouse? The mouse, like he was like a sailor, mouse sailor or something.
Is Prince Caspian when the girl and the cousin are just on the boat and they just completely sidetrack? Yeah, that's when I was like, all right, Narnia, I'm done. When the show started doing that, I'm like,
But you see what I mean? Like, I was like, yeah, they're trying. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I got fed up. I don't want to do this no more.
but you know, and you know what's funny though? I don't understand why people are okay with 9 hours of Lord of the Rings, but they can't do Chronicles of Narnia.
Who says we're okay with 9 hours of Lord of the Rings?
Oh, dude, that's also true. There's a lot of people out there who are okay with it.
Straight up, I've only really liked the first one.
They're going to do three movies, but I feel like with Narnia, they try to do each book, and I don't think there's a lot in there in each book.
Right.
It's a little bit difficult.
Book one's good. Book two's all right. Three and four, you're like, all right, cool. And then by five and six, you're kind of like, get to the final battle where everybody dies. Just get to it, please.
Because like... Because like the stories with Narnia, it's like, okay, you have Aslan, and then he's basically the allegory for Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mean, unless you really actually had really good Turkish delights, you wouldn't know why Edmund's selling out his family for that stuff. Seriously. And like, I remember as in grade one, and our teacher got some really good ones. And we're like, okay, Edmund, you're right.
You get
Edmund,
it.
You're right. Yeah. I see why you would sell out your family. Yeah. Turkish delights is top tier, man. Yes.
How many books are there?
Seven.
Too many. I will say, I'll suggest this to anyone who's never watched The Magicians. If you want a kind of weird blended version of the Chronicles of Narnia, but crossed over with a modern world, watch The Magicians. Because it's like Harry Potter meets Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, shit.
And it's set in modern times. It's really interesting. Okay. Like, people live entire lives in like this mythical world. And then come back and are regular people. And they're just like, oh, well, damn. We didn't realize we were just going to come back and be our young selves after having lived an entire life.
Yeah. I'd be a little annoyed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Chronicles of Narnia too, no? Don't they come back and they're young again?
I don't remember. I remember them being like, hey, so like we want to go home. And Aslan being like, yeah, about that.
You can't. I think in the first book they go home. So the first book they stay in Narnia, you can't go back home, and they live till they're quite old
lives,
they go and then they find the little lamppost, the original door, and they're back to being kids again,
and the Magicians does a very similar thing.
My sister sucks. Listen, you know she...
no so that happened. And then I think maybe the two youngest go back to Narnia,
right?
And then after that, I think it's like their kids or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember, like this whole series takes place during World War II,
right?
The kids are escaping the Blitzkrieg in
the UK,
in London.
Bro, my sister told me everybody died when I was like 8 years old, and I believe that shit.
I mean, they eventually die.
I believed all of that, and like to this day.
Why did she throw out everything?
My sister's the type of girl that would know that I'm afraid of Thriller, and just so I wouldn't come in the basement to hang out with her and her friends, would just put the Wild Michael Jackson Thriller magazine at the base of the stairs. So like if I go down, is this terror? Like that
we watching
that,
Thriller.
Damn.
That girl would watch Hellraiser, and we have surround, you know, the black people with the, yeah, like, the surround sound in the basement, yeah, yeah, just wild big speakers.
Yeah, right? Multiple speakers.
multiple big speakers for no reason. Surround sound, black people style, right?
Now the sound system.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you have kids, you have to repurpose it.
My dad's 12 channel mixer, all sorts, throws that thing up, blasting it, watching Hellraiser. And I'm like 8.
Oh god.
And I'm like, what's going on downstairs? All sorts of scarred, bro. Scarred.
Don't feel too bad. I remember I was on a trip to New York on a, you know, like a, I guess someone like, you know, you remember back in the day people would have trips to New York and would rent the bus and you pay
for it and all that. Yeah, yeah. You had no business being on that bus with 7 other strangers. Yeah, yeah.
So basically on that bus, you know, it's like, you know, everyone kind of knew each other. They throw on Misery. So that's how I saw Misery for the first time on the bus. I'm like, what's going on?
Oh no.
And I think another bus ride down watching what was it called The Silence of the Lambs. Silence of the Lambs. That was it.
Did they remember there was a child on the bus?
Or yeah, I mean, I'm like, oh, he's asleep, it's late. I'm just like, you know, just around the same time as me as a kid going to New York, and my cousins have HBO, so I'm watching Def Comedy Jam. So I'm staying up late underneath the bed watching it, giggling to myself, trying to not be loud, but I'm laughing mad loud.
Wild. Yep. All right.
Good times.
I love that. That's so crazy. Speaking of magic and repurposing sound systems, we got the American Society of Magical Negroes. I cannot wait for this movie.
And I said David Alan Grier.
I said that like JFK.
He's an all-star.
I said it like JFK because are the ones who benefit from magical Negroes.
That's the actual title? Like, they got away with that? Title.
The American Society of Magical Negroes is a movie about the secret society of magical Negroes.
I was about to say, like, there's not really much to give away with that.
You know what you came here for.
David Alan Grier.
There's black people in this movie.
For as long as we have been watching movies, they have had black people be Bagger Vance, dude from Green Mile, all these movies where black people are there to help the white people with some sort of like spiritual guidance. And
extra points if they tie it in, though.
Right.
Well, they have Green Mile dude in here, and they're like, "Oh, he's an agent of us or something." Hey.
Well, he passed, but well, you know. Like they're definitely going to have the references to all of it. I'm sure they're going to make fun of it because, and on top of that, a lot of people discuss how the magical Negro has changed into the sassy black friend. Which is the, like, you know, the next generation of it. So there's going to be a lot of...
That friend also has all the answers for some reason.
Right.
Like, they are the guidance.
Well, that's it. If the story is not set in a magical way, the character is just randomly very wise and spiritual. And when it's one with a white girl who needs a sassy black friend to help remind her, girl, you don't need that man. He cheated on you. That's when you get the like female version with the downgraded magical Negro aspect. So there have been major conversations about this, and now they're making the movie. So I am very excited because
I never understood that like sassy black girl that was overly comfortable being the sassy black girl in the most like wicker basket white town in fucking Wisconsin.
Right.
I never got that. Like, where do you even find your sassy? First of all,
you know the direction they were given all the time.
Right.
Right.
Be black.
Be blacker.
Yeah,
be more.
What do you mean they don't like you? Be blacker. But dad.
People don't know that you're black. Be more black.
Yeah.
Like, really?
When they look at you on screen, you kind of pass. We need you to really black it up.
What was that show, First Blood, that somehow depicted only two black people in all of a town in New Orleans? One was like the sister who kept getting fucked up every 2 days, and a brother Lafayette who just happened to be the gay magical black man who's literally gay and magical. It was kind of hilarious.
Oh, True Blood? Yeah. I don't think that's not New Orleans, but it is like some town.
Louisiana, around there. Yeah. Craziness. Yeah. I want to see this movie.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I can't wait. I'm buying my tickets day one.
It's coming out on a magical day.
Yeah.
It's my birthday. I just finished seeing the trailer in the background. Like, sounds be my birthday.
fine. See, the magical black Negroes continue to support the white man. They got you a gift.
Not, that wasn't the what.
They got you a gift.
This movie's going to get so criticized, and then when someone's going to come out with like, oh, yeah, they can you Negro in their movie? Fine. Cracker, 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 cracker. Like, they're going to, telling you, there's going to be some sort of counter to this movie title.
There's a restaurant called Cracker Barrel. No one's complaining. This is already done. It's like you're not.
I remember a really good point someone made was like, "Oh well, how would you feel if we made a movie with only white people in it?" And blah blah blah. Where's our movie? And it's like they did make a movie. It's called The Northman, and none of y'all saw it.
Yeah, and that's just
a good movie. Like, it's actually crazy, weird, and good.
Y'all have been
No Country for Old Men is
prominently white characters for like 20 years, so it's not.
You have Javier Bardem in there. And then you got like scatterings of like Mexicans that just get blown away.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, true. It's a mix. It's a remix.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if we could call it a mix when all the people of color just get murdered or are murdered.
Except Javier Bardem, but he's just like the murder one.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not, you know, like when you watch some of these movies and you're just like, "Oh, there's black people in it. Oh, all the black people are killed and the black guy is the murderer." Well, that's a problematic issue also. Oh my God. We got Justice League Crisis. I don't know, guys.
Crisis on Infinite Earths.
They're doing a trilogy again. Y'all did this already. You don't need to do it again.
Just chill on them looking like Archer. I'm just all right.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I'm not a fan of the story arc. It's not that it's a bad story arc, but it's been done so many times in so many different ways. I have no care for Crisis. And mind you, the worst of the Crisis would be Arrow. Go fuck you, CW. And that's a little plug. And again, Archer. I don't want my characters to look like Archer. Like, why?
Real quick, though.
I think you guys have to accept it, though. They're not getting rid of these because they've done multiple films. And they
Understood. But from the trailer, did you see, like, I'm just going to say this as a jump, and I hope you all see this. But from this crisis, you see what happened to Batman and what he got attacked by. They're going right into the Dark Joker Batman, like, right there.
Yeah.
You saw that? Like, okay, Batman gets taken over by a dark thing. That's going to be Joker that laughs. Sorry. Do that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're fast forwarding things to try and catch up to modern stories because they think that's what people want to see. I don't think that's what people want to see. No. I think you could sell more back catalog if you make that catalog seem interesting. And Crisis on Infinite Earths with George Perez art, like, is one of the most popular classic stories that they've ever done. So to skip over that to try and jump to this metal, whatever, it seems weird to me. But, you know, DC, you do you. You guys seem to know what's up. All these failed movies of yours made so much money for you. Obviously, someone's making the right decisions there.
But yeah, the animated side is making the right decisions.
Usually, but now they're making the wrong decisions. They're making the wrong decisions because they're going to the same well. Mm. And the worst part is if they go back to their history, it's like, we know how to write good stories of the one. We know how to translate the good stories from our comic books to animated. There's plenty of examples of that.
Right.
And it's just like, either expand the Justice League already, because you've always kept it really, you've always kept it Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, and then some of the others. Why don't you give the other characters like some weight, you know, and like bet on some other characters?
We've been saying it for years.
But even at that, it's like, I don't want to hear Superman's Lex story for the 100th time. You know what I like? Like, give me what's the one that sucks up his energy when he touches him?
Parasite.
Give me a Parasite one. Give me a Metallo or whatever. Like, you know, there's so many characters on so many of these characters. I admit Wonder Woman doesn't have that much crazier characters because she has a tendency to do more global things.
Yeah.
But Batman has like 1,000 bad guys. Why
did I mention, though? Have you watched the Superman cartoon, the new one with Jack Quaid doing the voice? Because they are doing what you're describing. Like, that new cartoon starts with Parasite. Like, Parasite is one of the main villains.
Which one is this?
Livewire. It's Lois and Superman something. I don't know. I don't remember. It's the latest Superman cartoon.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know.
Superman and Lois.
That's like a little bit like animated, like.
I mean, it
anime like.
Oh yes, it is done in an anime style. That's true.
Yeah.
So that show starts with Livewire and Parasite and Missiplex shows up in an episode right off rip. Like, they're really not holding back; they're just going into it real quick. So, you know, I think they're doing it. I think they are. They're trying. I just think I agree with you though. There's no focus. Like, there's no unified focus. It's kind of like we're doing this show over here. We're doing this over here. We're doing that over there. So which is...
and for me, it's also like, you know, like example. Green Lanterns have actually always done a good job for them. Usually, like Green Lanterns were a couple of the ones that were single movies that got like Green Lantern. I think it's called First Flight. Like the it was the Hal Jordan story where they told it like that did great. I know a lot of people who like that. You have a lot of other characters in the Green Lantern, like even the Green Lantern animated show, 3D animated show, which not a lot of people, not everyone bit onto it, but it still survived for a good couple of seasons, from my understanding.
Right.
In which case, well, why don't you just do a good animated version and just tell the stories properly? Because you jumped over Sinestro in that one. So it's like Sinestro is big for the core itself, not just Hal Jordan.
I honestly don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what the plan is. Like we said, I don't know what the vision is at DC. I don't know what the vision is at Marvel. Like, I don't know who's making the decisions anywhere anymore that for the long haul, you know, like other than, and this is something we're going to mention a little bit later in the news, but Filoni got tapped to be the chief creative officer at Lucasfilm. So we know who's going to be making decisions there. And the chief creative officer also does animation and live action over at Lucasfilm. Whereas over at DC and Marvel, it doesn't feel like they have one person doing the vision for the overarching universe. And I think it's cool that they do the animated and the live action in the same universe.
I just find, I don't know, like I for me, it's more just make a long-term plan, stick to it, don't flop, and like think it through. Like that's why I'm hoping James Gunn is gonna ultimately do, because no one's talked about what he's doing with the movie franchise. But I hope he's like, because does James Gunn have any influence on the animated portion or just the movie?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so. And I think, like I was saying, James Gunn is brought in to take care of the films.
Yeah.
Whoever's doing the animated stuff is gonna do the animated stuff. Same thing at Marvel. Marvel's animated stuff. I mean, What If is mixed in now, but kind of weirdly mixed in, right? Like, What If might have an effect on things, but we don't know. It's the multiverse now, so they have the opportunity to do it. So we'll see. I don't know. But then you have Lucasfilm, who has done multiple shows that are animated that are all connected to the main universe, and that works perfectly fine, and no one's complaining. Clone Wars is one of the most popular pieces of content ever created. Bad Batch, similarly adored. You know? So you can do it. It can be done. And you can just do it well. And you have one person in charge of all that. So we'll see. But the last thing we have, Rey Mysterio versus La Oscuridad, which is the darkness.
Yeah.
Translates to. And that's coming to Cartoon Network LATAM. Latin America. I'm really so hoping. Funny. Are we? And I think I asked in the group chat, but I don't know if anyone had the chance to answer. Are we going to get an English dub of this?
I don't know. I would say maybe not. Maybe if it's, I feel like it's definitely made for the Latino market, just because. Ray is the best.
Right.
Short King. King, just doing all the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Dragon Giant Slayer, Ray Ray. You know, so I'm really happy. I think they announced this like in 2021, and then it's finally we're finally seeing animation of it. So I hope it's good. I'm sure people are gonna watch it, fan sub it, get it out there and everything. So
yeah, I'm down. I think it's cool. I mean, what you sent, the trailer looks really cool. The animation, the energy, and just as wrestling fans, you kind of always want something cool and new. And I guess this has to be WWE affiliated, or does he own the rights to his character? Or
license thing. It was they did probably have to get, because either WWE or, if anything, I think Rey Mysterio owns his own likeness.
Yeah, because I know he was Rey Mysterio Jr. and I think it was his uncle or was the original Rey Mysterio. So when he was like the kid. He was like, that's how long he's been doing it. And then he became Rey Mysterio.
Plus, when he had a bit of, like, because he's had sometimes time off from WWE, right? He's had breaks or whatever. And when he was out of that breaks, he was still like, he still looked the in his name. Because usually when you're working for a company, right, they have a tendency to say, well, since you've joined, new name, new look, this is who you are. At least that's WWE. I can't say that for the independents or whatever. Mm. But WWE, it's been very rare they've allowed you to keep your exact same shtick. Because at the same time, usually if you're trying to keep your thing, you're also trying to say, well, if I leave, I'm also that, like, you know.
Yeah, the character.
Like, if my name, because also Rey, mind you, though, Rey Mysterio's name, I believe, is Rey. It's not like Hulk Hogan, character, which is really Terry, whatever his name is. You know what I mean?
No, I think, like, but I think Rey Mysterio is like a family trademark kind of thing.
Cool.
Because I know when he was in WCW, he was Junior. And then maybe, I think a little bit later on, he became not Junior. So I'm assuming that he owns that actual trademark.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, kudos to him. I look forward to the show. Hopefully with subs, maybe some dubs. No, like, I would love to watch it in Spanish, but my Spanish is not good enough. So I know I'll be missing out on some dope lines because the character seems kind of like he's being funny and stuff. At least from what I saw, it almost felt a little Spider-Man-esque.
Yes.
So I didn't want to say that because I don't know the character that well. I don't know if the character kind of has that type of quip, kind of fast reaction type thing in his wrestling.
He had a color scheme that was very similar to Spider-Man. And I like the intro with him, and he takes off the mask. I'm like, why is he taking it off? And then it's another mask.
Yeah, that was funny.
Because luchadors take it very serious.
Yeah.
If you get tripped off, it's like
unmasking them is a major loss, right? Like, they lose and... Okay.
Well, it's also a way to get major heat. Like, there's been times where people would like grab and just like rip open the mask type thing.
Oh, wow.
So that, there's been story arcs where, because of that, the person's trying to cover their face, and then like they win the match because they're so busy trying to cover their face.
Right.
Pin them,
the other person pins them. Okay.
Yeah. Or what have you there. So there's been a lot of craziness.
All right. We got some View the Right Thing stuff. I'll go super quick with mine. Modark Legacy of Monsters is available on Apple TV Plus. I've been checking it out. First two or three episodes are out. It is a story set in the Lion Gate, Godzilla, Skull Island, King Kong universe with Monarch. I don't know if you guys remember Monarch is that company that was kind of there collecting samples and, like, you know, those
company or a government thing, like a secret government.
They're not governments. It's like a private thing. I don't know. Mm. You know how these secret organizations work. They're probably getting government funded, but the government doesn't want to acknowledge their existence. And then after 20, 30 years, no one even knows they're funding them because it's all paid through shell companies. Guess what, guys? This is the real world, by the way. This isn't even just a TV show. There's a good chance your money pays for things you don't know about. And even the governments are like, what is this budget line for $7 million that we keep sending over here? Anyways, whole other subject. But the show, you know, it's kind of fun because Wyatt and Kurt Russell are both in it. Wyatt plays Kurt Russell in the past, the character, which was a lot of fun to watch.
The show.
Yeah. So seeing Wyatt Russell kind of embody the swagger his dad had when he was younger was really fun. And then seeing Kurt Russell come along and play that kind of same, you know, Mr. Nobody type energy a little bit, like, I'm a rebel, you know, the machine is trying to keep control of me, but, you know, I know how to play the game. I was like, all right, Kurt, you do you. And, you know, we had, what's his name? Anderson Holmes, I think is the actor's name. He's playing the younger version of John Goodman's character from one of the other films, which is really cool. And
I think it was Skull Island, right?
That's in Skull Island. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That was like the one in the 60s or 70s or something like
right.
I think that's the one.
So I mean, I liked it. The first few episodes are really good. There's a lot of time jumping, so you do have to pay attention. Like, the first episode is, you know, these three characters working together to do this. Then the second episode is the meeting of those three characters before the things that happened in the first episode. So if you're not paying attention, the timeline will be a little confusing, but ultimately fun watch.
Is it good? Because, well, two-pronged question. Do you often see monsters, and B, is the CG, because I'm assuming if you do, it'd be CGI. Is it the CGI good?
You do see monsters. I don't think you see them that much. You do see Godzilla pretty early on because one of the characters is from San Francisco and she's a survivor of Godzilla's attack in San Francisco. So she has PTSD, which is referenced a lot, and it's very interesting how they're covering that. Mm-hmm. And the CGI is pretty good. I mean, we're talking Apple money. So mm-hmm. one of the big things that people talked about with the actor strike and writer strike was Amazon, Apple, and I don't know who the other one. I'm trying to remember, but I can't remember who the other one was. But those guys don't need this. This is fuck you money for them. Like, they don't need to have networks. They're just doing this because this is, as someone said, this is like a rounding error for them. You know, like, whatever little pittance we give you guys to make TV shows, make sure they look good and get people talking about us so that we can sell products. This is just advertising. You know what this is? This is the toys that made us, them selling Prime as a product and Apple products with advertising to you through these TV shows. That's all it is. That's the whole point of Prime as a network and Apple TV Plus as a network is we have money. We can make these shows. We want some of the shows and or some of the movies to win awards, like, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio and Martin Scorsese film. And some of the shows are just going to be IPs that we like that we can do really wild shit with. And that's why you get Monarch Legacy of Monsters, because they got the money and the CGI is on point, because it's like, well, we're Apple.
Yeah. We are the people who provide the CGI.
Dude, you guys are doing this on our Macs. We can. You need a couple more Macs? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want us to pay you or you want free Macs? Here. Take them. They're on the back of a truck. Just take. Go ahead. Oh, you want two? Yeah. You know what? It's like a pair of shoes for us. This is like Nikes. Here, just take them. That's what it is. So it doesn't matter to them. Mind you, you do still see a lot of cancellations because Prime canceled a bunch of shows recently. So
I guess it's still also a machine to make money, right?
Right. I mean, ideally, you're hoping that the cost of the show at least covers itself so that the advertising is worth it. Will Monarch Legacy of Monsters be that? I hope so.
Will they survive the monster that is Apple?
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see.
Speaking of monsters, Rick and Morty.
Did you see the latest episode?
I did. And okay. I'm gonna make a statement. And sorry. I know, Brian, you've been watching?
Yes, week to week, yeah.
Jaws, have you been watching it?
No.
All right, I'm just going to ask a question then, Brian. Is this not one of the better seasons since, like, season 3? Let's be serious now.
If I'm being
honest... I don't have to like the answer,
No. If I'm being honest, until this episode... I would have agreed with you, but I really didn't like this episode.
Which one is this one?
The last episode that I saw was the clip show.
Yeah, but that's like a staple that they always do. That's like the Simpsons
Halloween horror.
Exactly. So yeah, it's not that it's a throwaway episode, but you know it's a hit or miss episode. So
yeah,
take away the tradition for two seconds.
Well, hold on.
No. Let's be serious, because it's a tradition, and we already said that it's like.
Can I ask Jaws a question? Jaws, if someone asked you to review The Simpsons, would Treehouse of Horror not count as part of the season?
I think it does, but it's a weird Elsewhere kind of deal. It's where it's like, this is not... Because, I mean, the whole point of Treehouse of Horrors is that they're like, oh, we're telling ghost stories. So obviously it's like, they don't count. These stories don't count. But then it seems like they've kind of... I don't know how they are now, but it seems like they kind of got away from that. And for the most part, everyone just kind of watches that clip
of
whatever craziness they've done. So you miss the overarching story usually for the most part.
But the thing is this. I'll ask the same question, but in a different way.
Okay.
Would whether or not the Treehouse of Horror episode was good or not, because also usually it is the buffer to the starting of the season.
Right.
Because it's just something to get your feet wet back into how the characters are and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you say whether or not an episode is good or bad dictates whether or not the whole season is good or bad?
I don't know.
But usually
I think like the Treehouse of Horror episode is they get to be crazy and go wild and do whatever the hell they want and really spread their wings and go nuts.
Right.
And then after that, it's kind of mostly grounded for the most part.
Right. I'm just saying, when I watched this season so far, fantastic episodes. The second to last episode where you finally got like some vengeance stuff. You had Evil Morty come back. You had, dude, you and like, I was actually almost a little concerned because it felt like you wrapped up a major arc a little too fast. But I was still also like, you know what, though? They did a good job with it. And I was like, okay, I'm looking forward to next week's episode. Then I get to next week's episode, and next week's episode is essentially the Watcher being annoying. Like, Marvel's the Watcher being like, do you not like me showing you everything that you've done?
But it's basically the inverse of the clip show. Because usually the clip show, they're watching TV, and now the TV's watching them.
Right, right. Yes, the TV was the one telling them, like, unprompted, the TV would be like, remember when you were embarrassed by this? And it just shows them a clip, and you're like,
oh my God, it's funny.
I was like, okay. But, dude, you know what? The thing that bothered me a little bit about it was it would have been funnier if not for the fact that even the characters were annoyed. Like, the characters are annoyed by this character. So you're asking me to enjoy this thing where even the characters in the show are actively trying to get away from this clip show. And it's like, like, oh, okay, we are all on the same page that this is not a good idea, but we're going to make a 20-something minute episode about it.
But all I'm saying is, like, again, even if you include it, I'm just saying I think that this has been the first time in a long time there's been a solid, and again, I'm just saying that this is an outlier episode, so I'm just saying, like, this has been, if you consider that, it's been a very solid, consistently good episodes, having stories that do complement each other and do provide a direction but are also independent.
Right.
And all of them are, like, pretty decent, like, foundational episodes. It's not like the episodes of, like, the last, let's say, like, season 4 and 5, for example, were very just, this is just all over the place. Why am I watching this episode? That, because all 4 and 5 felt like every single episode was a one-off. It's like, I'm collecting the X-Men series, and X-Men 1 is a one-shot, X-Men 2 is a one-shot, X-Men 3, like, that's how it felt. This one, there's a certain degree of synergy, and at the same time, I hate to say it, but I find they've gone back to the roots of how they used to write. I find it's just, like, more stable. Rick and Morty's not stable, but but it is stable.
You like, have said this before, though, is my thing. You said this in previous seasons, that you're like, oh, the writing feels like they've gone back to the earlier seasons.
I said that for season 6.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, this is, like, really, like, because season 4 and 5, I completely agree. They are very much not non-directional, nonsensical. Yeah. Four and five are the reason why they lost some of their fan base. Like, I have friends who are like, it's not that I don't like it, but it's just like, eh. Because I get it. They weren't great episodes. I admit that in season 4, there were some good ones. Like, there's the one where it's like the Invincibles or something. They're Avengers team. Yes, that's the one episode of that season. I'm like, that's a good season. Like, they had bangers, like one or two bangers each season, but not like how, like, last season I found they were like, okay, you're getting back to basics. And maybe it was the guy who, you know, did or did not do things that when they had to kick him out, that, like, you know, they're like, well, maybe he was the problem. Who knows? I don't know. But, like,
I mean, they definitely know now that the Vision has, you can tell that the Vision is different.
Yeah,
because and like I heard a clip where the writers were talking about, like, oh, we haven't written together in a couple years. I haven't seen these people in the same room. Once the pandemic hit, we all started writing separately, and people were saying, like, I don't ever want to go back. And I was like, oh wow, okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm looking at the season 4 stuff, and I'm just like, oh Lord. Yeah, oh, Lord. Rattlestar Ricklactica. Oh, God. Some of these were so bad.
The Claw and the Hoarder, the one with like the dragon they get or whatever. I was like, oh, you know.
Oh, my God. The More Duplicity, where they're Muppets at one point. Like, dude, some of these horrible.
The only one I really like in season 4, because I can't even see the Avengers one or whatever I was talking about before. I admit the one where it's the old man in his seat, the toilet one, where he's just pissed off at that guy. I was like, that's good.
That was a funny one.
I'm giving you that one.
Like a special toilet on a special planet.
Yeah.
That was a very funny one. Jaws is very much like, what are you guys talking about? Honestly.
Jaws, is this season's... I know, but is this the season with Predator in it? or that's last season.
I think that was last season or two.
That was last season where the dude's wife was left him for Predator.
Oh no, that's at the beginning of this season.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I saw that episode, or at least the tail end of that episode.
Yeah. That's a good one. Because he hires it to like watch over his family or something, and then they end up falling in love, and the Predator is the new dad.
Great. Yeah.
Great. I will say though, it is crazy that we're already at season 7. Because when they said they're gonna do 10 seasons, we were all just like, man, are you sure you can keep this alive for 10? Mm. I mean, 4 and 5 weren't great, but 6 and 7.
Well, 6, 7. I'm sorry, that's a direct. They're not getting that much turbulence. They're going pretty.
Know what? I'll finish 7 and I'll give it a proper full season review of how I felt the season went, because I will agree, one bad episode does not make a season horrible.
Especially when it's like,
I just like I said. To give me such a good episode and then to follow it up with the clip show, I was a little annoyed.
I would agree with you that it is very poorly placed episode.
Oh, yeah.
I will give you that. Like, example, this should have maybe been episode, like, 2.
Yes. Yes. Do this early and build up. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. Because the other thing is this. Like you said before, the one where it's them finally having the confrontation with Evil Rick, like the real evil Rick, which I have a sneaking suspicion that something in there isn't over.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what I was saying. It wraps up so quick and so easy. I'm like, there's no way. Like, what are you talking
about? But again, like, evil Morty walks away with important information. But anyways,
right? Yes,
but like, it could also be that maybe the episode was placed here because they're like, cool, that was a big overdose. Now we want you to chill the fuck out, so that we can misdirect you, so that we can start misdirecting you. Because maybe it will come back, maybe it won't. Like, you know what I mean? Because
I agree. I get why they did it. I understand in the flow of things, you need a break almost when you do something like that. It just felt like a heavy drop.
It was.
It did. It did feel like a heavy
drop. It was. It was. It was like completely off the rails.
Yeah. 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 What else we got? We have Invincible.
Is it accurate? I'm asking you guys. I don't know if John, if you want, yeah.
It's been a while since I last read Invincible, so I couldn't.
Because
I would assume it's accurate.
They are finding a good way to balance what the original comic book did and what they've already adjusted and how to move forward with it.
Yeah,
like Amber as the girlfriend, she doesn't know he's invincible at graduation, in this show. It's just like Amber is aware and is like covering for him too. You know, like they're skipping some stuff ahead. They're pulling back on some things. They also balanced out Amber a lot this season, because last season she got a lot of hate as a character I don't know if you remember, but last season she was being unreasonable. Like,
oh yeah. Know. Like there's people dying. Yeah. But you're not on my date. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Dude,
Jaws, I'm telling you, when you watch the show and she's getting mad with him because he's off saving lives, and then you find out that she's figured out he's invincible, she's just like, yeah, it's not that hard to figure out. He's just like, wait, you know? And she's like, yeah. And in my head, I was like, she knows he's trying to save lives and you're still mad at him? I was like, this is bad writing.
Maybe that's kind of similar to like early Spider-Man. Like, even though he did have a girlfriend or something, like they wouldn't figure it out, but it's like, why are you late for my date? And then you'd pat it down.
Again, I understand if someone doesn't know, but once you know he's saving lives, you can't be mad that he didn't show up for your date. Your date is not more important than lives.
I think they still have to show her being mad, and then maybe later on she's like, okay, wait, hold on. I'm being unreasonable.
I don't know.
There's a difference between being upset and being mad.
Yes. Yes. Hit him. Okay.
Like, that's all I'm saying, because, like, you could be disappointed, you could be very upset, you could be like, you owe me one,
you're expecting a lot from a teenager.
No, but, like, I'm talking about, she's like,
a lot from a good writer, that's the problem.
Because it was almost like every time, we're going to break up unless you change, and you're like, yo, like, I don't want to be mean, but, like, you're crying wolf, and, like, this guy's a stud, and he knows he's a stud, he likes you, so stop being a dick about it.
Like, the idea that and again, I get it, you can be upset. I think Dave really hit the nail on the head. I can be upset that someone didn't make it. I can't, however, hold it against them once I find out, oh, the reason I didn't make it to your dinner is because there was a 5-alarm fire and I'm a firefighter and I was saving lives. That's it. You don't get to be mad at me.
I mean, it's like saying, I didn't tell you I was a firefighter. Oh, wait, hold on. My beeper went off. Peace out. And then you figure it out later.
No, how about this?
I'm saying she knew going in or she didn't know?
She didn't know going in, but she does know by the time she's getting mad at him.
Yeah. Okay.
Because to me, it's more like, it's like as if, oh, I'm late for our date. Why are you late for your date? Well, actually, there was an accident on the highway and I had to help someone to get to the hospital.
Right. Yeah.
You're an asshole.
Yes.
What?
Like, when she says the words "you're an asshole," she already knows, or yeah, it's like, but, this no, sounds I'm very that's the ridiculous.
Conversation. Eve, like, yeah, you're angry at me. Okay.
Yeah.
You could get angry. You could be mad. You could go from a state of mad to upset.
Yeah.
But to be from mad to then being told, or even worse, figuring out on your own, so you could actually reflect about it before you interact with this person, and you're still equally, if not boiling over the ocean even more. What the fuck?
I feel they're teenagers, so
oh, of course, but like, you know,
like, I get
killing people, not about teenagers.
Yeah, if I was a teenager and I found out my partner that I was dating was a superhero who's saving lives, I don't see how I'm mad at her. I'd be trying to watch. I know, right? I'd be like, yo, where can I see you save lives? That's so badass.
I feel like that's kind of outing them a little bit. You're, that's my girl. That's my girl, the superhero. No.
If anything, I'd be
and
more
there
like,
there she goes. I'm her boyfriend. And then all of a sudden you just get wrecked by some supervillain.
But I feel like
this guy's making it too easy.
I feel like I would have actually, because like example, in this season, Mark at one point takes her randomly to Paris and it's actually to Vegas because he doesn't have the time to be able to do it. Yeah. But like, I would have just been like
liquefying his arms if he flew that fast.
Yeah, exactly. But I would have just been like, if I was actually angry, I'd be like, yo, so I'm upset at you. You're a jerk for canceling a date. So next week it's Rome.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I'd just be taking advantage of that. I'd be like, they get one, I get one. Yeah, that's how I would be like that.
Yeah. Bank that, baby. Bank that all day.
Why not?
But yeah. So Invincible as a series so far, I'm liking it. I think it's being true to the comic book. I think they're evolving off of the comic book in ways that I don't know. I mean, I really think Kirkman saw this as an opportunity to tell the story slightly different and slightly better. So,
yeah, I think that's what you should be doing. I don't think you should. Yeah, it should always be one for one all the time.
Yeah.
The only thing I was upset with.
Unless you're DC Animated Universe, where it was so good. It's like, please just do one for one for once. Do it. You've done so well. Just try it. Just try one movie one for one and then we'll see.
But for me, it's the only thing I wasn't liking about the last episode.
Oh, okay.
First of all, I knew who the rat was right away.
The rat.
The rat in the... Because remember, the last one was more them being in space, right? About, like, the first half of the episode was that the whole in space and what happened to Alan. Which,
yes.
Straight up, if that happens in the comic book, cool. But straight up hate what happened to Alan.
Yeah.
Straight up. I don't know if that was... Does that happen in the comic
book? It happens in the comic book. It's pretty brutal. He ends up being... on like a respirator for like a good couple months. I like that they made Alan's girlfriend in the military with him though, as opposed to just like a random girlfriend he fucks all the time. Because in the comic book, she's just some girl that he's always having sex with.
Because he basically gets killed. Sorry, spoilers, but he basically gets killed by that dude who like screws with his respirator. But that guy, I'm like, the second he was like, yo, we have to find the mole, I'm like, bitch, you're the mole. Like right away, I was like, there was no.
Yeah,
I don't know. There was no surprise to me on that one. I was like, you are bad. You are bad. No.
No spoilers. No spoilers. But I'm happy you feel that way because it's going to be a good story.
Because for me, I'm sorry. That was like, it's like when, you know, he enters a room and like the dog starts growling at him. Like that type of level, of, like, you are not good. You just know right away, you are not pleasant.
Kirkman is writing this very well, if that's how you feel towards that character. Because that's good. You're supposed to feel that way towards that character.
Because I do not like that. I heard that's a change though. That him doing that is a change because it's supposed to be a different character or something like that. Is that true or did I read something wrong online?
I think a different character does it, but it's still playing out similar from what I understand.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like they're already, because there's some in the comic book, you can have some really minor characters that come in for like a second and leave. Mm-hmm. But in a TV show, you're like, am I going to hire a new voice actor, or am I going to animate this extra design? Can I just use this other character and move this thing along this way? That's what I'm wondering as to why they changed it, but we'll see.
Yeah, but if the other character was like, if that was his only job was to pull the plug or something, then like whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, at least from like, what I remember. Character. Yeah. I feel like I should play it now only because one of the pieces of news I have is directly linked to Invincible in a way.
Go for it.
So we'll hit you with the theme. Here you go. Geek news and rumors. And it didn't loop for once, guys. Look at me getting better. Steven Yeun has been cast in the MCU to play Sentry in the Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
David Finch, the comic book artist, spilled the beans in an interview. The Walking Dead creator During an interview with comic book artist David Finch, the Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman spilled the beans on who Yuen will be playing. My good friend Steven Yuen is playing the Sentry in a movie, he revealed.
In a movie. That's super bold. Be curious how angry Marvel is about that.
Well, I mean, we all know how Marvel is. But Marvel is...
I mean, we would have known how angry Marvel would have been if they finally fired Mark Ruffalo, but they haven't. So
right.
Or
Tom Holland. Right. Agreed. Like they get pretty pissed, but those two are so popular, and Steven Yeun is so popular. It's like, what are you gonna do?
Well, they'd also get slapped with the racist card at that point.
Ooh, that's a whole other conversation. I mean, I am looking forward to watching Steven play the role. Like I've said many times before, I'm not the biggest fan of gender or race bending characters, but if you're gonna do this, cool. I think Sentry is classically known to look a certain way, and funny enough, the only time he looks like Steven Yeun is when he's the complete evil version of himself, which is kind of telling about how they write comic books. But
yeah, but that could also be where they're going with the character. You never know.
Sure, it's just
how he debuts maybe.
Right. If you're going to debut, bring him out at the start with him with the black hair and the red suit, cool. It's just, how do you go back to the blonde? Like, you're going to have a problem going back to the blonde later on. But you know what? Go ahead, do the character. I imagine they're going to change the suit quite a bit too, because like the iconic image of him with the blonde and the yellow that matches his hair and the blue, like, unless they're going to do the other cowl version, which is his old version that was in the comics way back when, and then also in the comics when Reed Richards brings back his memories. We'll see.
Do you think they'll maybe just dye his hair blonde?
God, I hope not. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't want to complain about it because Steven Yeun is a fantastic actor.
Oh, he's amazing.
He will destroy the part. He's going to be so good in it, and I'm really excited for him to do it. It's just that, you know, the nerd in me does want certain things to look certain ways. And on top of that, as I've always said, ultimately, I would prefer not race or gender bending characters, but to give those characters and their original race and gender the shine they deserve. So, you know, if you want to make the villain another East Asian character of the many East Asian characters you have in Marvel, why not try that? Mm-hmm. You know, so, but Marvel... you know, fingers crossed, you've been making some weird decisions, and I still think Feige might be on the last leg, and not because he's not smart or not dedicated, but I think he's just been doing it for so long. You need new blood, and, you know, we are where we are, so we'll see what happens with the next bit of phase. Maybe Thunderbolts needs to be a separate thing. Maybe it doesn't connect to the overarching next phase.
They shouldn't. They should be a covert operation.
Yeah, they should do it like Guardians of the Galaxy. You're in the same universe, but here's a story that's different.
If how Guardians of the Galaxy is,
yep,
is how essentially everything should be treated. If you're going to interact, you interact and you follow the rules of what you're bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you fuck off, you fuck off.
Yeah,
that's okay. Not a problem.
And this is where I hope James Gunn's expertise at doing that transfers over to DC, because he's done such a good job with the stuff on the Guardian side in Marvel that if he can do that on the DC side, it's going to be fantastic. And speaking of the DC side, Superman Legacy has cast Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor. So for those of you who know Nicholas Holt, he's been Beast in the past. He's been, and I don't know if you guys know this, but he's been trying to get a role at DC for a good long time.
Really? Like, he's been grinding for DC while he has Beast?
Well, he...
I mean, they haven't been really doing much with him in Beast. The most he does is Beast is simp for Mystique.
Oh, Mystique. Yeah, sorry.
That's all he's really doing as Beast.
Well, probably they also looked at him and said, so we're going CGI. We're going with Frasier.
Yeah. I mean, he's not coming back, or at least we don't expect him to. If he does,
there's no way now. You think Disney will take... Nah.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't expect it, but I'm not putting it past them to be like, well, we need you for a cameo for a couple seconds. That's what I'm willing to say.
Yeah, I could see them doing the cameo thing. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be doing, you know, doing a big thing. They're going to do exactly what they did for, what was it called? Deadpool 2. Where it's just like, you know, the side look. And you just close the door like, no. That's too much money. Close it. Shut it down. So he was good in The Menu.
Yeah,
Tyler's bullshit. I love it.
I have a beef with that movie.
Right. I didn't see it,
but I heard a lot of people liked his performance.
He's some old bullshit.
People performed well, but anyways, I don't want to go. That's not a tangent. I don't want. Right. Acting was good in that movie. That movie stunk. Anyways,
that's fair. Also, announced for casting, Warner Brothers has set Sarah Sampayo from At Midnight for the role of Eve Tess Macer. I don't know that character. In Superman Legacy. They also cast, and I'm trying to find his name, Skylar Gisondo, who some of you might recognize as the son from... Oh, man. What's that show with John Goodman with the church? The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he plays the son on The Righteous Gemstones. Or at least, I guess, John Goodman's grandson on the show. But he plays the eldest son on The Righteous Gemstones. So, yeah. Those are two. He's playing Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty crazy. Jimmy Olsen, not black for once.
So is he redhead?
No, he's not a redhead either.
You're ruining it. He could always dye that shit.
That's fair. He could go strawberry blonde. We'll see. Continuing, we got The Blackening. When we were talking about the Magical Negro Association, the Society of Magical Negroes. I really wanted to mention this, but I figured I'd wait. The Blackening, which if you guys haven't seen, fantastic movie. I loved it very much when I saw it. And they got tapped for a sequel over at Liongate. The first movie made decent money, great story. And you know me, I'm not one for horror. But with the whole kind of Jigsaw-esque Blackening type story, they did such a good job that even I had to admit, like, oh, this isn't scary. It's really just funny. So I'm happy.
Yeah. Have you heard of what Peele? Is it Jordan Peele said about making horror movies? He basically said it's very similar to making comedy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
for
yeah.
For some reason, horror is funny to him. So if it makes him laugh, he's like, okay, keep going in that direction. I'm like, dear Lord, man. Everyone's like, what the hell's wrong with your brain? But I see what he means, though. I do get it.
Yeah. Like, sometimes when you're watching a comedy and you're like, oh, you're going over the top, but then it gets funny again. It's the same way that when you're watching a horror, it's just like, oh, God, that murder's over the top. And then they keep going. You're like, horror is dark. Chris Pine is pretty confident that Dungeons and Dragons 2 will happen. He says he's willing to come back. He had so much fun making the first movie, Honor Among Thieves, and would be more than happy to return, which is pretty cool. So
I think it's on Netflix right now. I should go check that out because I heard it was pretty good.
It's really good. I really enjoyed it. And to be honest, I have had this conversation with a friend of mine. We both agree it's the type of movie that does not need a sequel. If you did one and done, no one would complain. But if you want to try and revisit that universe, we'd be happy to see you try. Hopefully successfully.
But you being... because I haven't seen the movie yet, actually. The original, the first. you being a Dungeons and Dragons fan,
yeah,
is it because again, it you're to the is it true to it? Because like, obviously you're not gonna have people rolling things, but like how the environment is and stuff.
Oh dude, there are scenes where what's her name? The girl from the Fast and
Rodriguez?
Furious. Yeah, Rodriguez. Michelle Rodriguez. No, is that Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah, I know. So.
She's the
It's definitely Rodriguez.
She's a barbarian. And there's times where she rages in the movie. Like, you know, like she like rages and like goes crazy. There's a time where her weapon.
Yep, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, okay, thanks. There's a time where her axe gets upgraded because it accidentally goes through lava or like a, not lava, but like a smith's fire. And mm-hmm. like when some it pulls out. Sorry?
Like fire, some kind of fire. Or something?
Like
the molten metal. Yeah,
she splashes through it by accident, but then her axe gets like it cools immediately, and it like sharpens the blade and has like this cool design. And you're like, oh, cool weapon upgrade. Like, there's a bunch of like D&D stuff. There's like you can tell that Chris Pine's character, if you were playing his character, you'd have a whole bunch of like role for performance because there's times where he's like trying to like disguise himself or he's trying to like trick someone by performing. Like, it's really good. It really feels like you're watching a movie where all the roles were made before someone wrote the script.
Okay.
And I also know that like there's a lot of Easter eggs, and one of the Easter eggs is the cartoon characters from the old D&D cartoon show. They're like in the background, caught somewhere or something like that.
Yeah, towards the end they show up, which is pretty cool. So that's all the new stuff. We have some rumor stuff. Jenna Ortega looking to leave the Scream franchise after Melissa Barrera let go over social media posts in support of a free Palestine. So Melissa Barrera plays Jenna Ortega's sister in the films, the Scream franchise, and posted on her social media in support of Palestine and was then fired. Jenna Ortega the next day asked to break her contract. Now, the spin in Hollywood is the reason she's trying to get out of the Scream franchise is it conflicts with her filming the Wednesday series. Everyone and their cousin is going, wink, wink, yes. Her conflict all of a sudden is causing that she can't do this major movie franchise that she's essentially helping bring back from the ashes. So do with that what you will. Maybe she really is just trying to film Wednesday and doesn't have the time for the Scream franchise now that her sister's gone. Or take into consideration, she might just have a different mindset than the studio. She might just feel that firing that actress was not the right decision, and she no longer wants to work with them. We don't know. We're just telling you the facts.
Scream has a lot of running. Wednesday does not.
Right?
a lot of cardio in one show.
Yeah, in Wednesday,
one project
move specifically like that.
But those dance moves, she had to be limber.
But it's just that one dance move as opposed to running away from somebody.
Yeah, an entire 2-hour movie.
Stunt doubles, bro.
But still, a lot of running. I know. A lot of digi doubles.
the last bit of news, which is something I don't think we talked about the original bit of news, and I'll say it quick. We got an idea of who might be cast for the Fantastic Four, with potentially Pedro Pascal as Reed Richards and the rest of that crew kind of. And now we're hearing Fantastic Four may have a female Silver Surfer, which.
Silver
boobies.
Just use one of the female heralds he already has.
Yeah. Yes. Not a lot of people know those heralds, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like, you don't. Silver Surfer is very. Come on.
I know one other herald, and it was like this rock guy with an axe.
I would also point out, though, that at this point, we know the Silver Surfer, but Silver Surfer is not popular in the comic books the way he used to be when we were younger. And you would be starting from scratch with Silver Surfer.
Yeah, but like,
so you might as well go with
someone. Last time he was voiced by Lawrence Fishburne, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, it's exactly what Jaws is saying. No offense, like, and I'm sorry for all the young little boys out there that want to see them, but I don't want to see silver boobies. Like, I don't. Like I'm. It's just also if this is true, because it's a rumor,
right? Yeah. Rumor.
I hope it's not, because I think to a certain degree it's, I don't want to say like classless, but like, come on.
Well, it's lazy. It would be lazy to decide to just put a skin tight suit. It would be like when you added Seven of Nine to Voyager. It's like, oh, we're going to put a woman in a skin tight silver bodysuit and we're just going to make this a move. And it's just like, we don't need this.
It works.
But then,
yeah, but
sure.
I mean, look at Battlestar Galactica.
Oh,
yeah, the white girl.
Yeah,
I mean, say the white girl. She's always dressed in white.
How do we get these? How do we get these humans to like us more? Ooh, I know. Bam. I mean,
hey, man, you're not wrong. I can think of 100 other movies that didn't have to do that are still very popular. You also have an entire run of Marvel where they didn't need to do that for all the characters. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, did get shit on by people for doing that with the female characters. Like, people shit on Marvel for what they did with Black Widow. You didn't show her any respect or love, and you just had her in a black cat suit half the time.
I wonder if they're doing it because they're like, well, people already seen our completely green guy, and we have a whole race of green people. Not green, sorry. Golden people. Adam Warlock and that whole race of people of gold people. Mm. I wonder if they're like, well, maybe people get confused by a completely silver dude with a surfboard or something. Like... I don't know. I'm trying to play devil's advocate here, and I know I got nothing. So
I just wish that one of the cosmic characters, you know, doesn't have to be like one of the what's it called? Photon, Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel.
Right.
Why is all like the cosmic type people all ladies? Like, where's the diversity there?
Because they beat up original Marvel. Well,
I mean, I would say
that's true. They breed up the only male one and they get the shit out of them.
I would also point out that the Guardians of the Galaxy are also our cosmic team, and they are mostly male.
Yeah, but they're not. Okay, sure. What's his name was for one movie omnipotent and all this type of, but like these people just power wise, these guys are destroying everyone. And I'm cool with that, and I don't care. But this, I just don't want. I don't want silver boobies.
To jump in on Dave's point, I would say, like, well, how come all the cosmic people have to be humans? How come all the powerful cosmic people are just humans? What is up with that? Human females.
I agree.
Are there any other cosmic people that aren't dead that just got, you know, snapped out of existence?
I mean, you guys are making aliens. You guys are making a point for why we should have a male Silver Surfer. I'm not complaining. I agree with you. If this is the way we want, if this is the argument we want to use in court, and I think it will win, I'm down.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Your Honor, I have no leg to stand on here. I don't even know why I'm even standing up and talking to you. I got no argument here.
Like at that point, just make it a different
race
or alien at this point.
Yeah,
we want to make it all.
Use a completely different avatar. They exist. They're there. Just use them.
Yeah, and a fiery herald is just as sexy, or can be just as sexy as a silver one. It's all fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, folks. That is the whole show. We had a blast talking to you about all the wild shows and all the geeky stuff, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that D&D talk at the top of the show. If you guys are fans of D&D, I would highly recommend checking out the Dimension 20 stuff. They have some great D&D games on their YouTube page. I know most people will tell you Critical Role. I'm sure they have great stuff too. I've never watched the Critical Role stuff. Dimension 20 was how I got introduced. But if you are a Critical Role fan as well, please continue to check them out. I hear their stuff is great. Oh, also, there is a new show that is specifically all South Asian characters, which is DM'd by, and I'm going to try and find it really quick, but it is, and I know I'm not going to, which is unfortunate. I don't have time, but... I know. I'm like, oh, I was just watching it, but I know I won't have time to find the name, and that's unfortunate. But if you guys are fans, I know that Reika from she's also done Dimension 20, but specifically from Dropout TV is on it, and she's pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah. So if people are looking for some fun stuff to check out, and you're looking for something new, I highly, highly recommend it. And I think that's pretty much it, guys. That's the whole show. Is there anything you guys want to say to the fans before we dip?
I would say check out Transformer Slag podcast on YouTube, and also check out the Toy Armada with Aaron Archer on YouTube as well.
Double down on that.
I also want to remind people to check out Andre 3000's album.
Yes.
So, because if you guys haven't, and I know some of y'all are mad because he's playing the flute, it's really good. It's actually really nice to relax to. I know you're hip-hop head, 17 years, you've been waiting for rhymes. Leslie Jones did a fantastic thing on The Daily Show, but guys, this is actually really good.
I love what someone said. They made a picture, and it's him with the flute, and it says, y'all don't even deserve words.
Yeah. It's really good. So check it out. Oh, I also found the D&D show. It's called DesiQuest, D-E-S-I, which is a nod.
Oh, DesiQuest. Okay. DesiQuest.
If you guys know, you know. If you don't, you're going to learn. There's some really cool stuff there. Okay, that's the whole show. We love y'all. We'll be back with another one real soon. And peace.